You're listening to WIFD Radio, where we inspire, motivate, and create.
Hello, everyone. This is Monica L. Garrison, and I want to say welcome to What's Your Why? And thank you for joining me today. Today is Valentine's Day, so I want to say happy Valentine's Day to all of the lovebirds, everyone out there, even the singles. I'm in that boat. I'm single as well. So happy Valentine's Day to me. And thank you for joining us today. I have a special guest that will be joining me, and her name is Latasha Wiggins, and I will get to her very shortly. But I wanted to talk about love and how so many people depend on external love to validate themselves. We look for other people to tell us they love us, that they want to be with us, or they want to buy us gifts, whatever the case may be, we look for that. And oftentimes we are defined by how other people feel and think about us instead of how we feel and think about ourselves. And for some people, they get very depressed when man-made holiday, as all holidays, Valentine's Day, sweetest day, these holidays come around, and the first thing that people do is they get depressed if they don't have anyone to share that day with. You have a lot of people to share your time with. You have friends, you have family, you have children that can be your Valentine's. It doesn't have to be a mate per se, and we get so tied up in that. So for anyone that's out there feeling that today is just another day, blah, 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 just know that every day should be Valentine's Day if you are in a relationship. And even if you are not and you are single, loving on yourself, dating yourself, going out to the movie, having a great dinner alone, going on vacation, oh my goodness, having some quiet time, sipping some wine and watching a great movie is also a way to love on yourself and appreciate yourself. So when I was thinking about what my affirmation would be and how I wanted to start to show off, I thought about, let me read a poem that is in my book, Journey to Loving Me, Lessons Learned Along the Way. And it's titled, I Am. And it goes a little like this. I am more than what you think of me. I may have a few bruises, but no broken bones. I am a child of God with a light that shines bright. I am more than a face without a name. Look at me. I need to talk today. I am somebody. I am choosing to stand in my power and walk with my head held high. Who am I, you ask? I am a mother, daughter, friend, and much more to others. What gives me the right to speak with confidence? It was the closed doors, tear-stained pillows, turned backs, and empty promises. I am strong, powerful, and beautiful. I am a wife-to-be, no longer a late-night phone call. I am more than what you think of me. Who am I, you ask? I am enough. And I wanted to say that poem to someone out there who is doubting themselves, who don't feel that they are enough. Even if you're in a relationship, people tend to feel that they are not enough. Like I said, you're looking for someone else to validate you or to tell you your worth. Well, I'm here to tell you that starting today, I want you to start working on loving yourself, valuing yourself, telling yourself how beautiful you are and how important you are and how it matters. You matter. And if the person that you're with or whomever that maybe you're not with anymore could not see that in you and do not appreciate you for being the person, the authentic person that you are, the uniquely authentic person that you are, then maybe you need to get rid of them. maybe you need to spend some time by yourself. And if you are alone, then continue to work on yourself until that comes into your life that can show you the value, the love, and all of the things that you are seeking. But it always starts with you. And until you really take the time to work on you, even in a relationship, people, you got to do it, then nothing else ever really changes externally. So with that, I didn't want to be too preachy. Let's start. Let me introduce our guest tonight, Latasha Wiggins. She's a registered nurse of 16 years, and she started her travel business, AJL Travel. It was birthed out of a love for travel and a need to provide a tax shelter for her family. AJL Travel has been around for approximately 2 years. And she has recently, the business became an LLC. And although Latasha enjoyed the travel perks of being a certified travel professional, she also loves sharing the opportunity for others to benefit from doing so as well. And so having her on the show will be very great because she can provide a lot of insight for the business of traveling and anyone else that's looking to get into the travel business. So give a warm welcome to Latasha Wiggins. Hello, Latasha.
Hello, Miss Monica Garrison. Monica L. Garrison.
Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me, and I absolutely loved what you just talked about, you know, with today being Valentine's Day and people feeling a certain kind of way. I love that was a very empowering kind of way to get things started. So I'm excited.
See, I'm trying. I'm working on it, girl. So thank you for joining me. And and I want to start off by saying that how the heck did you go from registered nurse into traveling? I know I read a little bit of your bio and you talked about how you love to travel, but how did you really get started? And tell the listeners a little bit more about the travel business itself and what it is that you do.
Okay. So I am a registered nurse and I work for one of the bigger managed care companies. And I was going on a trip to see my goddaughter and her new baby. And I was planning that trip, talking to my manager, who said, oh, you know, by the way, you know, check out my website and see if you see anything there. If you see something comparable, you know, book it there. I was a little intrigued about that, but I did look on her website and found that I was able to get the room, the exact room, exact date, plus a car for 4 days for maybe $30 more than what I was originally paying. So, of course, I canceled that old reservation, booked under her, and then kind of didn't think about it for a while, did some traveling. I have a couple of timeshares, so we use those whenever. And then finally, I'm like, this actually kind of makes some sense that you get paid when somebody else books and you get paid when you travel. So later, probably several months to be honest, while I'm getting our taxes done and we're getting hit hard, being a nurse and an engineer with one child. And when we all owe taxes, I was like, oh no, I need a tax shelter. Could you tell me a little bit more about that travel business again? So I sat down and talked to her and then went ahead and partnered with the company, did my trainings, became a certified travel professional. I'm a cruise specialist at several other cruises. I have my CLIA card, which is the Cruise Line International Association, and I absolutely love it. I love the idea of traveling. I love that I get a check when I travel, when I come home, as opposed to just memories and pictures. So that's kind of how we got started. The tax shelter was my rationale for starting a home-based business.
Okay. And so you have been in the home-based business for about a year and a half to 2 years, and I mentioned travel perks. What are some of the perks that you get from having this business?
Oh, wow. So on the side of travel, we have a wholesale travel portal
uh-huh.
that we go to that only travel agents can go to that knocks out all of the markup that you would get if you were just booking with, like, online. So, I mean, even if I was booking online. But the good thing about being a travel professional is even if I book online, I still get the commission booking from sites that other people book from all the time, like Priceline or Expedia or Booking.com. I still get a commission when I book for myself or when I book for someone else. So that's really great.
Really?
So that's a travel
okay.
Plus, extra income. So another stream of income is a wonderful thing. Just looking at the partial government shutdown we had recently, the company has been around for 17 years and is debt-free. I think that speaks volume about the integrity and the company itself. So those are two of them. So my tax shelter that I have,
uh-huh.
we were able to save just under $2,000 last year on our taxes. That made a big difference.
Okay.
It's a low startup cost. I get a check when I come home from traveling myself or anybody else who I book for travel. And I get those insider rates as a travel agent.
Okay.
Not to mention, another thing that I think is absolutely wonderful is you don't kind of just get left behind when you start with this particular home-based business. Our culture is very much a care more, giving, a give kind
uh-huh.
of culture, as our senior leader would say. So I love that you always have assistance. So whatever I don't know how to do, because say I've never booked a destination wedding, there are thousands of people in my team, and somebody has. So there's always help available, and I love that.
Okay. And I know that you are going to talk a little bit later about how others can benefit from joining this opportunity. So I want to save that goodie for at the end. But tell me a little bit
yes.
more about how did you make the mental shift from being an employee to entrepreneurship? Because that is so, it's different. Because when you are an entrepreneur, you set your own timetable, you have your own schedule, you can pretty much, there isn't a glass ceiling. When you're an entrepreneur, basically you have to work to make money for yourself. And oftentimes people are very comfortable being in that employee status where they know that every 2 weeks they can expect a check. But when you are an entrepreneur,
mm-hmm.
it does take a different kind of mindset in order to transition from employee to entrepreneur. So what was that like for you?
I can tell you it was not an easy one, and one that took me a little bit of time to get acclimated to. So, again, within our business, within our team, we are given mindset books to read. Making the Shift was the first one that I read, and it really helps you understand where you are, how you've been taught. So I was taught, like most people, you know, go to school, get good grades. I did. Get a degree. I did. Plus two more.
uh-huh.
And get a good job. You know, do they have a 401k, which is about unheard of, or a pension? That's unheard of these days, I feel like. Have done all those things. But when I want to go on vacation, remember, I like traveling. The idea of having to ask somebody if it's okay for me to use the time that I've earned to go on vacation, that don't sit well with me. So the shift
okay.
came with reading of the books that were suggested for us. And then talking about those things, and then being around like-minded people, because that's where it gets a little tricky, especially with friends and family. You know, you first get excited about, oh, well, you know, I just learned about this opportunity, and I'm ready to go. And then the first thing you come up against is, well, are you sure you want to do that? But you're a nurse, as if being a professional doesn't allow you to have an
uh-huh.
additional stream of income. because the business is a part-time business, but depending on your efforts is how you get paid. Like you said, there's no glass ceiling. That's amazing. At 16 years in as a nurse, it won't be too many more years that I'll actually be able to make an increase because I'll hit that ceiling, and that's it. And no matter how much longer I work, that is the level that I can be at. Where in business, I have the opportunity to write my own check, and while, yes, it's very comfortable getting a check every 2 weeks or however people get paid every month, every week, whatever mm-hmm. their pay schedule is, that's extremely comfortable. But that's all it is comfortable. I'll never be in abundance being a nurse. I will never live in abundance as a nurse. But I have an opportunity with being an entrepreneur to do that. But you got to put the work in. So
yeah, that, it does require work.
It requires a lot of work. But you have to decide if comfortable is good enough. And so when that little switch changed from, oh, I'm comfortable, oh, my bills are paid, you know, I have enough money to pay my bills, but if I decided I wanted to go to parents for lunch tomorrow, I probably couldn't do that. But if
right.
I choose to build my business correctly, then I can. It's that hope, it's that dream, it's that wanting more, it's that thinking past where you are. But the books have been a significant help, just reading and learning more about me, how I feel about money, all kinds of different books, things that people say that we don't really think anything of, cliche. I mean, I'm sure most people have heard somebody say, well, money doesn't grow on trees, as if there's some scarcity of money. Well, there isn't a scarcity of money, and no, it doesn't grow on trees, but you can work
That's right.
I mean, really? But it's those
We've
things
all
that
heard
we say
that.
That proliferating, you know, through the generations. Somebody get mad because somebody wants something that they feel like costs too much money. It's, you know, money don't grow on trees. No, it doesn't. It doesn't grow on trees. But there's also not a scarcity of it either.
And
so, yeah.
You know,
that's sure.
What are some of the books that you've read?
Making the Shift, Millionaire versus the Middle Class. I'm trying to think of which ones. The Millionaire Mind was really good.
Okay.
The Secret to the Millionaire Mind. Those are probably the three. Relentless is definitely one that you have to be ready for. That's not something I would have read the first couple of weeks or months even into the business. But definitely essentially tells you how to trust your instincts, because I feel like overall we've lost that part. Everything is so tiptoed and carefully planned out. A lot of times
mm-hmm.
we ignore our very own instincts. And that book actually helps to shed light on that fact. That
okay.
you have instincts for a reason. They lead you in the direction you need to go for a reason. Stop second guessing them. So those are probably the books that made me go,
You know what? I was recommended to actually two books. One was Psycho Cybernetics by Maxwell Malt, book
okay.
to read. And that book talks about how our self-image and view of ourselves determine the outcome in our lives, determine our wealth, our success. Because if you have a very poor self-image, or you don't believe that you're worthy, or you don't have confidence in yourself, then you will never accomplish or reach any of those higher goals, because one, you don't feel that you can do it, or you don't feel that you're enough, or you're not worthy of it. So that is
mm-hmm.
absolutely a great book, and an old goodie is a classic that's been around for quite some time. Well, actually, Psycho Cybernetics is actually the book was written by a plastic surgeon. So he wasn't even
uh-huh.
a psychologist or psychiatrist, but what he found very interesting was that people would come in to see him all the time who want plastic surgery, whether it was their nose
right.
or whatever, Botox, they want something changed externally. What he discovered was that a lot of them were still unhappy. that the surgery went well, but because they were not complete within, they were still struggling with internal issues and their self-image, that it did not matter about the plastic surgery because they still didn't feel good about themselves. And so that really right. ties into entrepreneurship and into people really chasing after their dreams and really following a different path, because I've met six-figure, seven-figure people that left corporate America and started a bakery and started something else. And they were met with a lot of opposition from their family, because oftentimes our family cannot see the vision, or our friends cannot see, you know, the path that we want to go on, similar to you that you were talking about travel, because as an entrepreneur, we all face that, where we, the first thing we do is that we go to our friends and family for support, and they are, I like to call them balloon poppers. They're going to pop those balloons. They're going to tell you why that won't work. Girl, what you're doing, that doesn't make sense. You don't have experience in that. They're going to tell you all the reasons why it's going to fail, or right. why, it, you know, as opposed to embracing it and accepting it. And yeah, you know, you may have been a registered nurse, and my background is in human resources, and I've gone to school and have 2 degrees, but my passion has been, I have ventured out to being a speaker, to writing a book, to hosting a conference. So even though my background is HR, I bet I did something else that took me in a different path and direction, which is far more fulfilling in doing HR. And for me, being in HR, you get pigeonholed to a title, into a salary. And based off of that title, salary, that's all you get. And oftentimes, it's not enough. You know, some people are comfortable with that. And for me, I was not that either. And I needed to find a way to supplement my income as an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you that it's challenging at times because you're working so hard at pursuing your dream and having that abundance. And so the second book is Sandra Burns. Am I saying it right? Sandra Burns, The Secret. And that book talks all about prosperity and visualization and speaking it and acting as if. And even Lisa Nichols is a speaker, is one of the people that's in the Secret. It's actually, they turned the book into a movie, and it's so popular. And one of the things that I learned from that book is that if you can't even see it for yourself, then how can it be possible? How can anybody else see it? It starts with you. It starts and ends with you. And so that's why I believe a lot of people do not become entrepreneurs, because they don't even see it themselves on how it's possible. And they don't have enough belief yet. Right. And they don't have enough belief that it can happen and that this can make it and it can be successful. We listen to our family and friends, and then we shut down. We feel as though they know more than we do. Mm-hmm. No one knows more about your life than you and your finances. And my bank account, the way my bank account is set up right now, Chuck, it was like, so what you're talking about, I need to get out here and hustle and make some more money to make these ends meet. So it's all about really going after what brings you joy. And like you said, for you traveling, you enjoy traveling. So why not make money and then get the tax shelter from it? It was a no-brainer for you. And you actually make money even when you go on vacation yourself. So how are you able to balance your time with still working as a registered nurse, and then you have your family, you are married and you have a son, as well as running your business as well?
Ooh-wee. That is definitely something that I need to be better at, but what I am learning as I am, like you said, I went ahead and did the LLC at the beginning of this year. Because at the beginning of this year, I decided that my business needs to be run like a business and not a hobby. With that in mind, I now have planners that I live by that I pretty much write everything down in, because that's the way it has to be done. Because I'm still working 40 hours a week, at my job, I have to give me and my dreams and my visions time as well. So you really have to schedule the time. And sometimes it's completely off hours. Like certain days, my quote-unquote business hours for myself to get stuff done are 12 a.m. to 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is cooked. You know, dinner's done. I'm not washing any clothes, you know, or at work, whichever. And I can just have some downtime to work. So you really just have to live more so by a schedule, which was not my normal. I'm kind of one of those, hey, let's drive to Ohio to go see such and such today, like on a whim. And that all
mm-hmm.
kind of has to stop right now. And I say for right now because when you get to a point that you are at financial freedom, you do have those types of liberties. But that laying that foundation and that groundwork, that's where it's tough. And this is when, you know, it's time to dig in deep, go way in and figure out what it is you want and start putting in a plan to go for it. So it's not easy to balance, but
uh-huh.
I date my son every Friday night. We do a movie.
You do.
I love the schedules all. I would love to date him every Friday night or Saturday night or Tuesday night. It wouldn't matter. But sometimes that's not possible. So we don't have a set schedule because our schedules are set. But I do, even, no matter how late I get in on a Friday, unless I, you know, talk it over with my son, Friday is his night. And that's just the way it is. If he says, oh, it's fine if we watch a movie on Saturday morning, then we'll do that. But I know whatever I got going on Friday, Arrell's watching a movie with me, period. So that's how I keep him engaged and not feeling like, you know, I don't have time for him because I am kind of always doing something. If I'm
mm-hmm.
not looking up a book or taking a training or, you know, putting together a flyer or something, I'm always doing something. And he's around, but I'm not interacting as much. So I make sure that I make that time for him. And then when me and my husband can get our schedules together and we're in the same place at the same time and both people are woke, and we make time there as well. So it's really, I know sometimes I get off work. It's like work 7:30 to 4. Sometimes I get off work and I'm like, I just don't feel like doing anything. But the truth of the matter is, if I can show up to build somebody else's dream and make them look good, for darn sure I can show up for me.
Absolutely. And when you are an entrepreneur, we don't have 9 to 5 hours. And sometimes in
nope.
the middle of the night, you get your best ideas. You could get the most work done. It's because
yes.
your house is quiet. And that's when you can really, because I've pulled some late nights and early mornings, getting up very early to work because
mm-hmm.
there isn't a 9 to 5 when you're an entrepreneur. You're literally working all the time on the go. And so even when I'm not in front of a computer and I'm out and about, I still have my phone and I'm still getting emails
yeah.
or ideas are coming up that I'm writing down. Or someone is texting
mm-hmm.
and I'm responding. So it's like we're constantly working 24 hours, but technically not 24 hours, but we're working for the better part of a day. But it doesn't feel like work when you're working for yourself because it's your business. You're the boss. You're your own brand. And what
right.
a lot of people do not think about when you are an entrepreneur is that people buy because they like you. Or people buy because you're relatable and that they trust you. And if they don't have any trust in you, they are not going to buy from you. And so you
right.
are the brand. And so when you interact with people, you are always in business mode and you're always that entrepreneur and you are representing yourself. And that's what
yes.
makes people say, I'm going to give you my money. That is something that you have to really learn from when you switch from being an employee to an entrepreneur, is that switching
mm-hmm.
that idea that I am not an employee right now. I am an employer. Everything now,
right.
if you really pay attention to social media, is all about boss this, boss that, boss. But it's,
right.
it's cute to say you're a boss, but it is really hard freaking work behind the scenes, behind the curtains, to make a lot of the stuff that we post and what we're advertising and what we're putting out there, to make those things really happen, it takes a lot of determination and a lot of self-talk, because sometimes we will get tired and we will get exhausted as an entrepreneur, and you're thinking, oh my God, what did I get myself into? I don't want to do this. Maybe I overextended myself. We come up with all of these ideas, but it's always that thought of, why am I doing this? For my family, for financial freedom, because of our stability, because I control my wealth. And those are things that actually, or, and I'm providing a service for someone else. Someone else is reaping the benefits of my service and what I'm offering them. So that's what keeps me going. And I don't know if that's true for you, but for me and a lot of the entrepreneurs that I engage with, that is one of the topics that we bring up the most, is that even when we're tired, we keep going because of what we are passionate about and the service that we bring to people. And go ahead.
No, I will wholeheartedly agree with that. As a nurse, and many nurses, often we get into that arena because we want to help people. And to be perfectly honest, it never occurred to me, or prior to me starting with the business, that I could actually help people with travel. Like, that's just not it. The opportunity presented itself, I was all over it. But prior to that, had never considered that that was a way to actually help other families reach their goals. Uh-huh. And so, as a person always wanting to give and help others, this is really, it feels very much an extension of that personality of wanting to help and being able to and be in a position to help. But absolutely, it gets taxing and you get tired.
Yes.
And those little voices you have to shut down. And pretty much just say, yep, that's a great thought, but we're going to keep going right now. And I just, you just have to. Not to mention, you really need to wrap yourself around and be very much surrounded by people who are positive and not negative. And a lot of times, the people that you care about, your family and friends, they're not, their intent is not to be negative, right, when they're talking to you about, are you sure about this? Or, well, you know, if you don't like it, you know, you could just quit, or whatever the case may be, that's what they're saying, and they're saying it out of love. But what you hear as the entrepreneur is, that's not going to work, so let me know when you're done, you know? And that's not the reason that they said it. They're saying it in protection, right? And one of my partners posted something that said, if your circle, more or less, if your circle isn't pushing you to be great and pushing you to be better and speaking life into you, then it's not really a circle, it's a cage. And I loved that. I loved that when I saw it. I was like, you know what? You're absolutely right. You have to be around people, like-minded people, who can see past right now, who can see further than this two-week check, who can see that it might be difficult climbing up this hill, but it's going to be so worth it when you get to the top. And so, yeah, it's not always easy, and self-talk will keep you going. That, and keeping around people, having a accountability partner when you're getting to that point where you're getting tired, that can kind of just speak a word that gives you a renewed, yeah, I got this. Okay, yep, back to it. So environment is, people that you surround yourself around is absolutely everything.
It does, and it matters. And you have to learn when to turn a deaf ear to the naysayers and to the non-believers, because it's really not about them, and you really have nothing to prove. You're in a race with yourself, and it's not a competition, and it's all about you and what it is that you want. But we have two callers that are on the line, Latasha, so I want to get to them. And so the first caller, I am going to give the last four digits of your number is 7504, and I am going to bring you on. So, hi, caller. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
And can I have your name?
Yes, I'm sorry. My name is Carmen Strong.
Hi, Carmen.
Hi. I didn't.
That's one of my lovely partners.
I am, yes, I am supporting my business partner, and I
awesome.
Thought I was just going to be silent in the background.
Well, you know what? I can put you back. I just seen your number. I was like, let me just see if she person wants to join the call.
Sure.
And one of the questions I want to ask, since we have you on the phone and you're a business partner with Carl, is that as a entrepreneur, the business, how has it been for you with the transition of, I don't know exactly what you do for a living, but from employee to entrepreneur as you were listening to our conversation?
Well, it's actually for me started out being a little challenging because I'm also in the helping professions, but I work in mental health. So,
okay.
It was a shift for me because Miss Latasha was speaking of the way we are programmed into just doing, you know, the status quo. You go to school, you get good grades, you stay within this line. But I do remember also in coming up that I did there were certain things I knew about myself that I wanted to be different or outside the box. But when you don't have that circle or people that
mm-hmm.
are either, you know, doing the same thing that you're doing or actually have those same ideas, you kind of just get swept, you know, to the side. So I was always like that. I mean, I thought outside the box, and I didn't realize it until, you know, later. And when this opportunity came up for me, I had just actually got my master's
mm-hmm.
degree, and I was working was working in a outside of a mental health facility, and it was very strange because I could not barely even had enough time to go to the bathroom, enough time to go to, it's a very hectic schedule for me, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm really not used to this, but this was a big shift for me, and when this opportunity came up, and I said, wait a minute, now that was my thing, I love to travel, my grandkids live out of state, so I'm always like traveling, and I just loved it, and when I found out, like Natasha was saying, I could actually get paid for doing this.
Right.
So I definitely jumped on board. Mainly for me, it was just to save on my travel, and then later on, it became actually a necessity for me because my regular job actually ended. So this job has actually the travel. Doing the travel business has actually really, really been a major, major help for me, where it's become, instead of becoming a part-time, it's something that I'm actually working on full-time right now.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Carmen, for joining the conversation and providing your insight.
You're very, very welcome.
Hold on one moment. And Latasha, we have to take a break, and I will be right back with you, okay?
Okay.
It's time now for Healthful Hair Talk with your host, hair loss expert, Demetria Hayden.
Creating
Natasha?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, great. And I, before I let you go, I wanted to talk a little bit about tricks or tips about planning traveling, and what are some of the pitfalls that you've noticed since you own your own business that you've discovered when it comes to planning a vacation or a getaway?
One of the first things I would say is have an idea of where you want to go, but more importantly, have an idea of the experience that you want to take. So oftentimes you'll get someone saying, I want to go somewhere. Okay, where somewhere? What do you want to do when you get there? So sometimes people are dead set on a destination. Like, I want to go to Jamaica, and these are all the things I want to do in Jamaica. But you can come back with quotes for Jamaica that may or may not be inside their price point. And then, but they can get that same experience and maybe even a few more perks going to another destination, like say maybe going to Mexico. So I feel like people get stuck on the where more so than the experience that they want to take. And oftentimes they can get that same experience and sometimes more at a different destination. So I think knowing what you want to do more than where you want to go seems to help with the planning part. The other thing is just kind of knowing what the weather is going to be, understanding those things, the weather changes from, you know, hemisphere to hemisphere, you know, east to west, all of that good stuff. You want to know those things. And how long can you be on a plane? Because there are quite a few places I'd like to go, Australia being one of them. How long is that flight, Ms. Garrison?
That's like, what, 17 hours?
Right. So you kind of have to know you and what you can tolerate. So maybe if I was going to Australia and I really wanted to go to Australia, maybe I need to find a destination in the middle so I'm not flying as long, and maybe I can stay there for a couple of days and see those sites and then keep going. So sometimes, because a lot of people get stuck too on, I want a straight flight.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us do, I would agree, but sometimes that's not the best way to do it because, you know, they're all kind of, then my nurse hat comes on. People sitting on a plane too long, they're not getting up, they're not walking around, then all kind of nursing stuff goes off of my head. So it's really just being open to whatever experience you're trying to get to. And if you're just dead set on a destination, that's fine. Know what your price point is so that your travel professional has some room to work. And then, you know, do their best. I always do my best to stay within that. I try to beat that. You know, I try to come in lower if I can. If I'm not over usually by much, and usually it's because I added some things that I think they might like. So
okay.
I think that people use travel agents more so because we think about those other things other than just, I want to stay at all-inclusive by the beach. Okay, but you told me you're adventurous. So I know when I was in Puerto Vallarta, I went on this extreme tour where I'm doing zip lining and waterfalls and all this stuff. That some people might like. And, of course, they don't necessarily have to take that package, but they often appreciate the thought past just booking a vacation. So that's what we try to do with AJL Travel is try to meet or beat your needs and give you the best experience you can have without you having to worry about much other than getting to the airport. And that can even be arranged.
Look at you, meet and beat. And that's what a lot of that goes back to what I said. People, when they spend their money, they have to have some type of connection, trust, and actually like the person. And AJL Travel is your brand, and what they get is your customer service, your knowledge, your expertise, and providing them with what they want, and kind of helping them figure out. Because, like you said, some people don't really know what they want. And so that's where you come in to provide them with that service. What are some destinations for families for 2019? Some good places to go?
Oh, great. That's loaded. Do we have passports or are we staying in the States?
We're staying in the States. Let's keep it simple. Just give me about three.
Well, you know, Disney's going to always be one of the most requested places to go. So Disney World for sure. If they like outdoors, if we're talking about right now, of course, everywhere south is best because it's too cold unless they like skiing. So a lot of people like Colorado, but that could come with some other caveats at the moment. So I would say you like outdoors, I would think Tennessee or Virginia. If you are looking for a beach, I would say Miami.
Okay.
But with little children, Miami can be a little different. So maybe California, because there's quite a few things to do in California. Disneyland's there too, as opposed to Disney World. I think California is a pretty good family area.
A family area.
And Disney World, of course. Yeah, I think California is good. Yeah.
And, we have spring break coming up sometime March for people, March, April. And we have the summer, as well, where everyone is looking for travel places to go as well. But one of the biggest things that is starting to be a little bit more popular is wedding destinations and people wanting to go somewhere else. Do you have any recommendations for that, for destination weddings?
It's hard to make a recommendation just based on the wedding destination itself. A lot of people do Mexico and Dominican Republic. Mexico, Dominican Republic, and Jamaica are the ones that I see the most. But if somebody was looking for something not so well-known or well-traveled, that would be where we would actually get in there and do some research. What are you looking to have? What amenities would you like at this particular resort? How many people are you planning to have? Is it just the two of you? Like, is it a destination wedding but just two? Or are we having a full-fledged, cousins, aunties, brothers, everybody? But those are the three, I would say, that most people are going with. What I also have read about recently, and what I did mention when I was saying something for a family, are cruises. I don't know how I didn't mention that, but those are great because everything is right there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are choosing to get married on the cruise and then actually be on the cruise for the honeymoon. So that's beginning to be kind of a popular thing to do, not to mention you have generationally on a cruise, you have something for everybody to do. They usually have a little teen club. They usually have things for the smaller ones to do. Then the adults have things to do. So that's a really good, a very good family vacation, even if it's a quick, like 3 days out of Miami to the Bahamas. It's a nice, being on the water, stopping at the Bahamas, going to the beach. And again, generationally, if you're older and you don't want to be out in the sun, you can stay on the ship and there's things to do. If you're younger and you want to go on some adventure, you have time to do that before you get back to the ship. So cruises are really a great way to travel.
And
people feel a lot safer, too.
Talk about price for a minute. When it comes to cruises and how economical is it for someone to plan a cruise? Say, for instance, maybe a family of four to take a cruise. Is it really that expensive to do?
It depends on when you do it. And a lot of the cruise lines will have different specials that come up for us travel agents. We'll get an email or something alerting us that there's a low deposit or this cruise is on sale, or we have these free amenities. A lot of times, especially when you're talking about a family, a lot of times the third and fourth person are at a discounted rate, or sometimes, depending on the cruise line, they're free. So it definitely is great for being on the ship because everything is there. Your entertainment is there. Your food is there. You're not paying. Once you pay for the cruise, everything you need is on the cruise. Now, if you choose to get off the cruise to do an excursion, those can run, I hate to give an actual price, but anywhere from $100 to $200 per person. So that could it could get pricey, but there's so many things to do on the ship these days. These ships nowadays have ice arenas and wave pools, and it's not just like a swimming pool. Like, you have a whole entertainment.
They actually have clubs and casinos on cruises now, and every night it's a theme, and they actually have production. They have Broadway on the cruise ships. You could go watch a show. Movie night, because I did a cruise last year, and it was like, okay, let's go to the club tonight. Let's do the casino. Yeah. It was like, it's so much to do. We were at sea for a day, so there was so much activity from morning, noon, and night, and also there were a lot of kids on the ship, and there were activities for them, and then activities for adults as well. Yeah, it's all day. I don't want to let the time run away before you provide the listeners with information. If they are interested in joining and having an opportunity to participate in the company that you're with, how what are some of the benefits from joining, and how do they get in touch with you if they're interested?
The benefits are that nobody's going to ask you to quit your job. It's something that you can start off doing part-time or always do part-time. If there are people who absolutely love their jobs, I don't happen to be one of them. You can start part-time. As soon as you partner, you have access to a 24/7 website, which means it's open all the time. And if people book, you get paid when they book. So whether you sleep or on vacation yourself, and then you have those insider rates and those tax deductions. I mean, it's pretty good for a part-time business and a pretty low startup cost, which is not so common with a home-based business. It's usually several thousand dollars to start a home-based business. Where right now, at least through this weekend, to start is $100 to just get your website up and start getting moving. So, how they can contact me for more information, my phone number, they can call or text, is 708-325-8769. Again, that's 708-325-8769. My email address is info@ajltravel.com. My website is ajltravel.com. And if they're interested in, you know, getting a free travel consultation just to kind of see what they're working with, where they may want to go, if they need me as a travel professional, they can go to Calendly, calendly.com/AJL travel. And then on Facebook, I have a group called AJL Travel. So they can follow me there as well.
And that does it, guys, for this week's show. And, Latasha, I want to thank you so much for being a guest.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I will post everyone, if you missed that information and would like to get it again, I will post Latasha's website and her information, her email address as well, so that you can reach out to her personally if you have any questions. And I want to thank Carmen for joining the conversation as well and providing her feedback. Latasha, hold the line one moment.
Yes, ma'am.
And that pretty much wraps up our show for today, everyone. And I hope you got a little bit more insight about the travel business and about how you can own your very own home-based business. And Latasha did provide us with a lot of insight to that. Here's someone who was a registered nurse that ventured out into doing something different because it was a passion, something that she enjoyed doing. Who doesn't love to travel? And you're able to make money from it. So in closing, like I started the show talking about Valentine's Day and finding that love within yourself, I also wanted to close out with another poem from my book that I wanted to share with you guys. And it's called Goodbye. Very interesting. And the poem goes, staying down meant staying broken. Cannot afford to not be me anymore. I knew you would never stay until the end. No more craziness in my life. Letting go of the stress brought brighter days. No more sleepless nights, no more lies, no more drama. Being with you came at a price, a costly price that has been paid. I am debt free. Do not need your credit anymore. I am free to be me. Goodbye. And that's how I want to end the show. Sometimes we have to say goodbye to the craziness, to the madness, to the drama. And sometimes goodbye means saying goodbye to friends and family as well. We all have to have a sense of peace in our life. And it does, and peace, believe it or not, comes at a price. And we do say peace is priceless once you have it, but in order to get to that place of peace, you have to let some people go. And it's a hard choice, a hard decision to have to make that, again, with believing in you, taking a leap of faith, knowing what you want, knowing your worth. Can we talk about that? Can I get an amen? Knowing your worth and what it is that you want out of life, it really will propel you into your destiny, into your future. When you finally have to say enough is enough, it's time for me to do what works best. So until next week, guys, I hope you enjoy your Valentine's Day leading into the weekend. Can you believe it? We're mid-February already. And next week I have another fabulous guest that will be joining. So, until we meet again, you guys enjoy your weekend.